Ramifications by Ligeti. London Sinfonietta, conducted by Andre Derrida. Well, that's the end of tonight's Here and Now. Next week, you can hear the rest of that concert, presented by Sarah Moore-Peach, a concert that also includes music by Dai Fujikura, the UK premier of Secret Forest, Aldo Clemente, and the world premiere of Larry Gove's Piano Concerto, Things That Are Blue, Things That Are White, and Things That Are Black. All that next week at the same time.
Here and Now was presented by Tom Service. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 2 minutes past midnight, time for the early music show with Catherine Bott.
Hello. In today's programme, we celebrate King Dinis, a remarkable man born in the year 1261, who ruled Portugal for 46 years, which gave him ample time to consolidate both his country's economy and its frontiers, to limit the powers of the aristocracy and to resolve conflicts in the church. His wisdom, prudence and passion for justice made his country harmonious, and he himself was hugely generous, lending large sums to the King of Castile and making a commercial treaty with King Edward II of England, which earned him this little couplet of praise in Old English. Good King Dinis doth just as he please, for a king with such gold may do as he would. You need a bit of creative thinking to make those rhymes work, but you see where I'm going. What's he doing in the early music show, though? Well, the court of Dom Dinis I was a refuge for poets and minstrels from all over the Iberian Peninsula and beyond, with a specially warm welcome for the troubadores who wrote in the Galician Portuguese language. Music and poetry were in the king's blood. After all, his Spanish grandfather was Alfonso the Wise. Music for the Virgin Mary from 13th century Spain, performed by Brigitte Lene, a song of praise, Entre Ave Eva, built on a play on words. Eva took us away from heaven, Ave puts us back there. It's from the great collection called Las Cantigas de Santa Maria, assembled by King Alfonso X of Castile and León. Alfonso was known as El Sabio, the Wise. His reign began 9 years before his grandson, Dom Dinis of Portugal, was born, and was full of disappointments. He inherited a chaotic military setup and a ruling class of bolshy barons, and despite his much-vaunted wisdom, he managed to squander vast sums of money in vain exploits like laying claim to the title of Holy Roman Emperor, a valuable lesson in how not to do it for Dom Dinis. Alfonso was, however, blessed with a formidable intellect, which he did indeed use wisely. Despite living through an all-out attempt to rid Iberia of her Moorish conquerors, he fostered a truly ecumenical scientific and cultural climate, where astronomers flourished, where his team of Jewish, Christian and Muslim scholars translated books from Arabic into Castilian, and where musicians and poets were cherished. Alfonso had a hand in the assembly of a number of musical works, most famously the Cantigas de Santa Maria, or Songs to the Virgin Mary, one of the largest collections of monophonic songs from the Middle Ages. For these songs, Alfonso turned to the language of northwestern Spain, Galician, nowadays sometimes called Gallo-Portuguese. Castilian Spanish may have been the official language of scholarship and administration, but for poetry and songs in 13th century Spain, the only tongue was Galician. The trovadores of the time were highly prized for their compositions, which were an expressive blend of Spanish and Provençal traditions. Here's another of the Cantigas de Santa Maria.
Santa Maria leva, o benque pereu eva, o benque Santa Maria leva, o benché per Deu eva, o benché per Deu eva, peglia sa gran locura, cobro Santa Maria, coda sa gran cordura. Santa Maria leva, o benché per Deu eva, o benché per Deu eva, a nostra madre antiga, cobro Santa Maria, o foi de Deus amica. Santa Maria leva, o benché per Deu eva.
One of the Cantigas de Santa Maria, performed by the Klemencic consort. Alfonso X was wise, dynastically speaking, in siring at least 12 children, 10 within marriage, and several more out of wedlock. One of these illegitimate children, Beatrice of Castile, went on to marry Alfonso III of Portugal, a man 11 years older than her father. 8 years later, in 1261, Beatrice gave birth to their first child, Prince Dinis. And the poetry and music gene may have skipped a generation. Nothing is known of Beatrice's abilities, but Dinis became a poet of considerable accomplishment.
Bye.
The lovely girl arose at dawn and went to wash her clothes in the stream, but the wind lifted them from her. A simple tale, replete with symbolic possibilities. Levantus Avelida, words by King Dinis of Portugal, melody reconstructed by Kit Higginson of Ensemble Alcatraz, the performers there. And as with the cantiga we heard at the beginning of the programme, the nuances of Dinis's poem rely on wordplay. The most important word in the poem is alva, A-L-V-A, which has a double meaning. It's white, clean, bright, but it's also the moment of sunrise. So the lyric is lapped with little waves of soft L's and V's. Vailas lavar alva. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and today we're looking at the literary and musical accomplishments of Dom Dinis of Portugal, grandson of the compiler of the Cantigas de Santa Maria, Alfonso the Wise of Castile. At the age of 5, young Prince Dinis travelled all the way to Seville to see his grandfather Alfonso, who rewarded him with the Algarve, as grandfathers do. The little prince will have heard some good music in Seville. Alfonso once wrote that listening to songs and instrumental melodies should feature among the pleasures that the king should avail himself of at times for taking solace amid worries and cares. As he grew up, Dinis was educated musically by eminent masters who had studied in Paris. He got to know the music of French troubadours like Bernard de Ventadorn and Geoffrey Rudel. Dinis lost his elderly father in 1279, and 5 years later his grandfather Alfonso died. The young king, barely out of his teens, made his court the last refuge for Galician Portuguese troubadores. And he didn't just enjoy listening to them, he began to join them with his own endeavours, composing satirical songs, cantigas de amor, short but complex courtly love songs, and more than 50 examples of that quintessential Galician lyric, the Cantiga de Amigo. One of the greatest exponents of the Cantiga de Amigo is the Galician Martin Kudas, who was not so much a courtly troubadour, more of a jogral, a more proletarian, jobbing musician and entertainer. Kudas is important because until recently the only Galician lyrics to survive together with their melodies were his 7 Cantigas de Amigo, which can lay claim to being the first ever song cycle telling the hopeless and heartbreaking story of a girl who looks over the Bay of Vigo waiting in vain for her lover to return. These simple, incantatory and hugely powerful songs were discovered by chance in 1913 by an antiquarian bookseller in Madrid. They were stuck in the cover of an ancient parchment by the Roman philosopher Cicero. All but the 6th song have melodies as well as lyrics. And here's one of them. Mandade comigo. My love is on his way home to me. Mother, I'm going to Vigo. Thank you. one of the seven Cantigas de Amigo by Martin Kodash, performed by Brigitte Lehn. So these haunting songs were discovered in 1913 and have presented an exciting interpretative challenge to scholars and performers ever since. And as I've already said, they were thought to have been the only Galician lyrics with music to have survived since the 13th century. Then, in 1990, the American professor Harvey Scharrer was in the National Archives in Lisbon investigating a fragment of a manuscript from about the year 1300, when he stumbled upon the incomplete melodies of seven songs. After some more intuitive detective work by the professor, the manuscript is now called the Scharrer Parchment after him, the songs were found to be Cantigas de Amor, courtly love songs, by King Dom Dinis himself. We're going to hear the King's seven songs now, performed by Paul Hillier's Theatre of Voices. There's a prevailing theme. The poet always longs for an unattainable, sometimes wilfully cruel, noble lady of great beauty. And they're convincing examples of a specialised sort of musical subset. As the 14th century musical theorist Johannes de Grocheo wrote, Cantus Coronatus is normally composed by kings and nobles and is sung in the presence of kings and lords of the land so as to move their spirits towards boldness and strength, magnanimity and liberality, all of which are things that lead to good government.
Pois que vos Deus, amigo, quer guisar dir desta terra, doe-me a Senhor. Rogo vos ora que por qual amor vos hei liquerades tanto rogar que se doia já E pois sabedes Utra moria decei. Bene sabedes, mui peceno pavor, ed esoi mais fremo.
The first three of the seven Cantigas de Amor by Dom Dinis I of Portugal, performed by Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier. During the king's long reign, one of the most significant things he did to unite his country was to declare in 1290 that the language of the people should become the language of the state, known as Portuguese. He and his wife, Infanta Isabel of Aragon, worked together on numerous philanthropic projects aimed at easing and modernising the lives of their poorest subjects, especially those who worked on the land, and he soon became known as the Farmer King. But Dinis was keen to see his country's intellectual reputation acknowledged too. It was his decree that saw the founding of the University of Lisbon, also in 1290. 9 years later, he established a royal chapel. Portugal was going to have everything that a proper modern nation needed. And while he rested from all that, he wrote several books himself on hunting and scientific matters, as well as his poetry and songs. Here are songs 4 and 5 from the Shara parchment, discovered as recently as 1990 and still subject to conjectural reconstruction. The performers once again are Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier.
Thank you.
came we grapraser came we Señor quande vos cuiden no cuidono mal que mi fazedes mais direi vos qual taniu por gramma ravia Señor de mi vir de Deus no pos mal de quantas in omundo son. E Señor fremosa mais por grama ravia per tanieu de mi vir de vos mal ut Deus non pos mal de quantas in omundo son. Car Señor muy gran prazer mi pere quande in vos in quanto mal mi facedes levar mais gran maravilla tanieu que Deus non pos mal de quantas in omundo son. Car per Deus se meia mui sei razo d'avere un mal duo Deus non pos non.
Theatre of Voices with Songs of Love by the King of Portugal. 137 of the king's Galician lyrics are preserved in two early 16th century manuscripts, more than those of any other poet. It's pleasant to think of this kindly, imaginative and discerning monarch enjoying all the fruits of a prosperous nation and good health to enjoy a long reign. Remember that little English couplet. Good King Dinis doth just as he please, for a king with such gold may do as he would. But that's not the whole picture. Towards the end of his life, the king must have been wearied by the constant jockeying for position of his two sons, both called Afonso, one his legitimate heir, the other from the other side of the regal blanket. By the time of his death in 1325, though, Dinis had established Portugal on equal terms with the other kingdoms of the Iberian Peninsula. He had followed his Spanish grandfather, Alfonso the Wise, as a poet and musician of distinction. And in a neat piece of symmetry, his grandson became Alfonso the XI of Castile and León. To end today's programme, Theatre of Voices, directed by Paul Hillier, sing the last two Cantigas de Amor by Dom Dinis of Portugal.
Sensei you. Music Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. I'm John Shea, and in this part of the programme we'll be hearing some of the tales told by the ultimate storyteller Scheherazade. You can hear Rimsky-Korsakov's colourful symphonic suite in just over an hour. Before that, a recital put together by Hungarian Radio from recordings made by the pianist Zoltán Kocsis, Chopin waltzes and books 1 and 3 of Grieg's lyric pieces. He starts with the sonata in E minor that the 22-year-old Grieg composed when he'd just finished studying in Leipzig. For all its academic and formal credentials, though, the sonata points forward to the folk music direction that Grieg later took in the lyric pieces, especially in its slow movement.